Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of Eurohoop's Eurohoop podcast. As usual, I'm Antonis Strogilakis and I'm joined by my great colleague, Buonasera Cesare. Hello.
Buonasera, ciao a tutti.
And our guest for today, a really special guy. This former player and now assistant coach at the Atlanta Hawks. He began his career in the NBA, played 5 years in the league before moving to EuroLeague with Turkish club Fenerbahce in 2015 and becoming one of the most dominant players that the competition has ever seen. He played just two seasons in the EuroLeague, but managed to leave a huge mark, both in the EuroLeague and his team, because he led Fenerbahce to its first ever EuroLeague championship in 2017. As the Final Four MVP, it was also the first ever EuroLeague championship in the history of Turkish basketball. After that year, he returned to the NBA. He joined the Utah Jazz. He then played in China briefly. He came back to Europe with Virtus, then played again in Japan. And he's now, as we said, an assistant coach to Quinn Snyder at the Atlanta Hawks. Ekpeudo, peace again.
Peace, man. Thank you for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Thank you for being with us, Ekpe, right now in Atlanta. And in the aftermath of the All-Star weekend break, did you go to watch the game or did you decide to spend some time to rest?
I decided to take a break, sort of a break. I went to Peru and went to Cusco and did all of the sites, you know, Machu Picchu. Rainbow Mountain, and just learned about the Incan lifestyle, and you know, had a great time. Now I'm back, you know, ready for the second half of the season.
How did the coaching thing happen? How did it start? And I'm asking because the news about you becoming an assistant coach at the Atlanta Hawks coincided with the news that you are retiring from basketball. I mean, most of us were not aware if you continue play or if you won't continue playing, and suddenly it's Ekpeudo retired from basketball and he's becoming a coach at the Hawks. So how did the whole thing happen?
So I mean, I think it started when I played for Quinn with the Utah Jazz, and just, you know, watching how he coached, just how he managed the team. And it was some interest for me, you know, thinking about it. And that's where I think it began. And then most recently, when I was with Virtus two years ago, is when I had that injury. And for me, that injury took me out for the season. But I wanted to come back and play, you know, to say that, I was able to, you know, come back from that type of injury and still have some type of game in me. So that's where I ended in Japan with Coach Rana in Kyoto. Then after this season, you know, Coach Snyder had took the job with the Hawks midseason. And then after, we were able to get on the phone for a little bit. And then in a span of probably 72 hours, you know, I was offered that position. And I accepted it, you know, and, you know, was able to transition into the next chapter.
So did you plan on retiring either way after last summer?
I don't think it wasn't a plan. I mean, I was going to continue to play. But when an opportunity like this comes along, you know, in a space that I would like to be involved with, you got to take it. I'm happy I've taken it. And, you know, it was rough at the beginning because it was like my first real job. And then just learning, you know, all the details that come with coaching. You know, from a player's standpoint, we don't necessarily understand the time that goes into it. But I've been able to, you know, to really embrace that. And we have a really great staff that I can lean on to learn more and things of that nature.
This Hawks team is an interesting one. And you had four wins in a row some weeks ago, including wins over Phoenix, over the Lakers, the Warriors. Then you lost two straight. You won two straight. You lost two straight. So it's like a little bit of not consistent path, I would say. So is consistency an imminent goal for you guys?
I mean, that's the goal. I think that's the goal for any team, you know, in the NBA. And, you know, you had our break. You know, guys will come back refreshed and we can really lock in, you know, for this final stretch.
I have to ask because the head coach is Quinn Snyder. Do you guys run the Spanulli system in Atlanta?
I wouldn't say it's a system, but yes, that is in our playbook. I think, yeah, that's in everybody's playbook. It feels like what a special player he was.
Yeah, and it became popular once again because Draymond Green specifically dubbed it, called it with its name, Spanulis, because they did that. The Nuggets did that a lot with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic.
Yes, sir.
Successfully.
Very successful. What they did in the playoffs last year, you know, that was special to watch and learn from.
So, Ekpe, the way I see it, it has become a sort of a trend. Maybe it's not a trend, or is it a coincidence? Former EuroLeague players getting jobs as assistant coaches in the NBA. We have you this season. We have Mike Batiste, who has been an assistant coach in the NBA for years. We have Thiago Splitter. We have Pablo Prigioni. How do you see it? Is it really a trend? Is it about franchises and head coaches wanting to add this European perspective to make a difference? Or is it just a coincidence?
I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah. You know, first and foremost, we all played in the NBA and we all played overseas. So I think you're taking both of those experiences and bringing it to whatever team we are on. I think that makes us unique in a sense. And I think, you know, we will flourish in these positions. You know, we just got to continue to work and see what opportunity comes up next.
Sure.
What exactly is your role on the staff? I mean, is it more about game planning, player development? Because I know some assistant coaches have some targeted areas that they focus on.
Right. Whatever they ask me to do, whatever Quinn asked me to do.
Like you were a player on defense, you know, throw at me. Yeah, he would play defense. He would block shots. He would do everything.
But since, you know, this is my first year and I'm starting as a baby pretty much. So I'm just trying to grasp everything from player development to managing games, sub patterns, ATOs, you know, just learning. Just want to learn. And, you know, I can relate to the players, so being able to relate to the players and be able to build with them, you know, all within, you know, this Hawks space.
We always have that kind of focus on European players hooping in the NBA, and this season Bogey has been stellar. He has been having really consistent games and stretches. How was for you, of course, having played with him as well in Fener, becoming a coach of Bogey in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. it's kind of crazy. Almost like a full circle moment.
Yeah.
Now I'm an assistant coach to him, but you know he probably sees me more as the player, as the brother, from winning the championship. But you know he's really had a really good year. And it's crazy because he's had to play all year, you know, with the World Cup this past summer. I was able to see him there, you know, come to Atlanta, get right back to it. And he's been playing phenomenal for us this season. I think that he really needed this break, you know, just to let his body rest. And I know he'll continue this trend when he comes back.
You said that he needed his break. What I was wondering is that it would be great if he could participate in the 3-point contest. If someone could convince him to do that, perhaps.
Yeah, it's tough, man. You know, when you're playing for your national team as much as he has, injury or not, you know, you want to take that break. You know, I'm happy he was able to. Hopefully, maybe next year he may do it. You know, we'll see what happens. I'm excited, you know, when we get back going Friday to see what, you know, to see him continue his play this season.
How did he react when he first learned that you are joining the staff of the Hawks?
Yeah, we texted,
you are going unite forces once again.
Unite forces.
Yeah,
we connected. We connected via text. He was excited. And then when I seen him in the Philippines, that was the first time we saw each other post me accepting the job. So it was fun. It was good.
Speaking about Cesare talked about the former EuroLeague players who are now assistant coaches in the NBA. One of them is Mike Batiste, Panathinaikos legend, 3 times EuroLeague champion. He has said that he could be open to an opportunity to become a head coach in EuroLeague, would you be open? I mean, I know you just started coaching and he has some years behind him as an assistant, at least. Would you see yourself becoming, I know, of course, that becoming a head coach in the NBA would be a more direct goal, but would you see yourself, considering the familiarity you have with European basketball, becoming a head coach in EuroLeague one day?
I think if it's a possibility, if it's an opportunity, for sure, I think I would do that. And I think it would be like, it would be monumental to have a Black head coach on it for you, you know? So yeah, I would
definitely
have that opportunity. And I know Coach, you know, Batiste, he would love that as well. And I would encourage him, you know, to do that. Because I think that would be a big step just as far as EuroLeague basketball goes.
Yeah. Right. And you were coached by the best to do it in the EuroLeague.
Željko Obradović.
Put it that way, Željko Obradović. Did he have like an influence on you that is now reflected on the way you're coaching, the way you're doing things in Atlanta?
For sure. I think the way we played and just his mind, basketball mind, I see that a lot when we're on the court. And it's like I hear him yelling in the background of things to do on the court offensively. So that his influence will always be with me. Even though I was with him as a player, I took the time to really listen and pay attention, you know, and didn't take that for granted. So now when I look at basketball, part of it is from that lens as well, from other coaches that I've been with.
How do you think that Ekpe Udoh, the player, would operate under Ekpe Udoh, the coach?
Well, I'm still learning.
I should have made that question to a player who I know that you are a very coachable player. I know that you are a very coachable player. You wouldn't manage under Obradović if you weren't a coachable player. So
I mean, you would still get the Obradović. I wouldn't, you know, probably yell as much, or my face wouldn't turn red. But I think he would fare well. I think, you know, when I get the chance to be a head coach, I think the player would fare well under me as well.
Do you still keep in contact with Zots, asking him for any advice, perhaps? Did he tell you anything?
Not necessarily as far as the coaching has begun, because it kind of happened quickly. But, you know, this summer, hopefully I'll bump into him. I do plan on going to the EuroLeague Coaches Clinic. I think it's like June 15th to 16th.
The head coaches, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully he's there, you know, whether he is or not. But at some point in time, for sure, I will reach out or go to Serbia, especially preseason, and just, you know, just sit with him and watch and continue to learn, because always learning.
So you told us a little bit that you're kind of keeping track with the EuroLeague. How much have you watched Fenerbahce, and you're keeping track with the team?
I haven't watched like a game per se. I mean, I may catch a quarter, you know, but like I say, the first year I'm film. Yeah. And, you know, they're playing in the afternoon after, you know, we have shoot around. So we have different things we have to tend to as coaches here. But I'll follow it, like, you know, EuroHoops or EuroLeague, the tweets or IG. It's going to be an interesting finish to the season. You know, the top guys, Madrid, Barca, Panda now with Kendrick Nunn, who's transitioned seamlessly. You know, Monaco, Mike James is still Mike James. It'll be interesting. And, you know, Bologna, they had a hot start. So hopefully when they get healthy once again, you know, they'll be there and possibly be a dark horse, because you just never know. Once you get to the Final Four, you never know.
Anything can happen. Yeah. You are perhaps one of the few teams throughout the ages. I don't know if you agree with that you entered the Final Four as a favorite and won the title as well. I'm talking about the 2017.
Yes. It was a special season, and we knew if we just got to the Final Four in Istanbul, like, we would be fine. Our crowd was incredible. The Fener fans to this day are incredible. You know, that season we were the fifth seed. you know, we went to the finals the year before we lost, so we knew what it felt like. And we just didn't get healthy until the right time. And once we got healthy, I think every team knew that we would be tough. And we showed it.
Now, perhaps the answer to that question would be easier for you now that you don't play in Fener. You're not a player anymore. So I have to ask, give me your all-time favorite Fenerbahce teammate.
Ooh, all-time favorite.
Yep.
Long list, right?
The all-time. I made it look grand and big and epic.
I think it's probably between Bobby Dixon and Gigi Datome. For sure. DGG, yeah. He was, him and his family, they took me in. You know, during holidays, they would invite me over. Then they looked after me. Yeah, so that was great. But those two things, playing-wise, I think me and Jan probably had the best connection. Me and Jan, and then me and Gigi, that's where the majority of my assists went. But everybody was cool. Pero and Titch, I mean, we all had good times. And, you know, when you win together, you'll never forget each other, especially at that highest level.
What was the special connection between Bobby and Gigi that extended beyond the four lines of the floor?
For me, you know, Gigi should have been born in like the 70s. He's like an earthy hippie guy, man.
He's old school great, like that.
Yeah, he's old school. Great dude, man. Just being able to learn, you know, just being able to learn, reading. Like I said, being around his family and things of that nature. And we just had this connection on the court. I think me and Yah were really just on the court. Probably went out a couple of times, but our connection on the court was pretty elite. You know, I'll never forget the first play of the championship game. You know,
when the dunk.
I don't even know what type of pass that was, but you know, he finished it, and you know that started the game off right.
Yeah,
Vesely, you said that you're not paying much attention. You can't watch really the games in EuroLeague this season now that you're a coach. But Jan, he's doing really great in Barcelona.
Yeah, I think this is one of
the leaders of the team this season.
Yeah, this is one of his best seasons in the past few years, for sure. Especially on this stage, you know, Barca is one of the top teams, so you're going to get everybody's best shot every game. But I definitely see them to be in the Final Four and push to win the championship.
And now, I mean, you talked about Gigi, and now you both are retired. Gigi is now working with Milano and the Italian national team, not as a coach, but you know, being around. Both teams. I was wondering, was he a reason why, or you reached out to him when there was the opportunity of coming to play to Italy with Virtus Bologna? Was there some kind of conversation between you guys?
No, not really. I think that happened real quick as well, because we were in the Olympics, I believe, when I signed the deal and I met with Coach Sergio. So we didn't necessarily talk about it until I think I did sign. He was just like, welcome to the league, you know, things of that nature.
And of course, your experience with Virtus was basically not an experience in terms of play.
Man, not an experience, man. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the best. But, you know, because one of the reasons why I went there is because of the opportunity to play with Milos. You know, he's such a dynamic, maybe the best passer, one of the best passers of all time, regardless what league it is. And, you know, that was a great opportunity. You know, Bellinelli was there, Kyle Weems. You know, we really had a good team. We ended up winning it. So, like, it showed that we really had a good team. But things happened. Wasn't able to, you know, really compete for them. But I was grateful for the opportunity.
Can you drive us through that injury?
That injury was tough. It was definitely lonely, depressing, because I was really looking forward to competing with that team and what we could do in the Euro Cup and then the following season by going to the EuroLeague, which would have been my first time back in years. I was really looking forward to that. Before it to happen and the way it happened, that was very tough. But I'm grateful, you know, I was able to go back to the States, get surgery and was able to get to rehab back to full health, and then was given the opportunity to play in Japan. So it was great. I was happy I was able to come back during the season, towards like the end of the season, was able just to be around the guys, just be a veteran voice and watch them, you know, win the Euro Cup, you know. Yeah.
That was
special.
Yeah, a great team effort. And especially within that group, there were three, I would say, legends of European basketball and international basketball: Coach Scariolo, Miloš Teodosić, Marko Bellinelli. I was wondering how was, at least at the beginning of the season, preseason, let's say, I was training with those guys, and did Miloš give some magic in training as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Miloš is walking magic. So it was great just to see their greatness every day in and out, and how they went about the game. And then especially when I got back and seeing how they were able to finish the season off was special.
There was any other kind of conversation with EuroLeague teams before you joined Virtus and eventually when you realized you wanted to play once more? Did you have any kind of conversation with other
with no EuroLeague teams, that there was no conversation. So you know, when Japan came, I was excited, you know, just given the opportunity, you know, to go play the game again.
And is there like a player you played or faced during your 2 years in the EuroLeague with Fenerbahce that you think he could have played in the NBA but never did? Is there something somebody that comes to your mind?
I love the battles with Madrid and Sergio Yule. Oh man,
oh, yeah.
I look forward to that. He, you know, especially before his injury. I mean, of course, I played against him before that, but I really, you know, he had a chance to play in the NBA for sure. But I loved our battles. That was great. Who else? Who hasn't played in the NBA? He would be at the top of the list. Kolo played. I thought Slukas could have had a chance.
Okay.
I know I'm missing some players.
Yeah, I think it's maybe some centers that you were like, okay, tonight is pretty tough, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Tavares, but he's already played.
Yeah, right.
And I think he could go back and have a good role on a team.
Yeah, would you see him come back, especially with the 3 seconds rule in Europe is like a cheat code, you know, like having Tavares. 100%. But would you see him being impactful in the NBA as well?
Yeah, I think so now, especially after, you know, he was in the NBA, then he went to Europe. He's had success. He's really matured into the player. He's a really good player. I think would have success. He can move. He's 7 feet. He can move, and he's learned the game more, I would say, and have an opportunity to play. I would like to see him in the NBA, but you know, he's comfortable. he's in Madrid. He's been in Madrid. He's won championships. He has a great connection with that group of players. Any other players, I would have to really go back and look, but off the top of my head, yeah, those are the guys.
Yeah, and Ekpe, we wanted to touch as well on African basketball. Of course, you played some games with the Nigerian national team back in the 2019 World Cup, in the Olympic Games in Tokyo, but there was something really unprecedented and unique that we witnessed in the 2023 FIBA World Cup with African teams. Two of the debutants in the World Cup alongside Georgia and Latvia were Africans, as in South Sudan and Cape Verde. South Sudan advanced directly to the Olympic Games with a wonderful path. Cape Verde grabbed their first win against Venezuela, and they were pretty close against Japan. So what do you think about these new emerging teams coming out from the African landscape and, you know, the whole experience that you had there in Africa with Nigeria?
I'm excited. I'm really excited for these two teams to go compete. I think it's just a testament to the work that they've done, especially with South Sudan and everything that's going on. in their country and in that region. For the job Luol Deng has done has been incredible. The coach's name is just slipping my mind, but he's done well. You know, they built that program up, and you know, I'm excited to see what they will be able to do here at the Olympics. You know, Cape Verde with Tavares, you know, they're going to come with it. But it's a special time, you know, it's a special time, and hopefully one of these days, years, decades, the Nigerian, you know, we'll get our federation together and we will be able to be on that stage once again.
And staying with African teams, as I said, there were new teams, debutants in the World Cup, and not the usual participants like Senegal, for example, Tunisia, Nigeria indeed. How do you see this? We were talking about Nigeria later on, but talking about in general, established African powerhouses not making it there. Do you believe is there some, you know, there's some kind of trend there, or, you know, just
Impossible. It's possible. You know, the competition is rising across Africa, which is great to see. That even though the powerhouses aren't there, there are still formidable teams who will go and compete, and you know, and hopefully raise Africa up even more. You know, as we continue to go along this life, and trying to get one of those medals back home to the continent.
You were there during the rise of some NBA superstars right now, some of the best players in the world right now. You were there when Steph Curry was making his beginnings. You were there when the Splash Brothers, in the birth perhaps of the Splash Brothers thing. You were there when Giannis Antetokounmpo debuted at the Milwaukee Bucks. How was it for you witnessing this kind of greatness in its birth?
For both cases. It's insane. You know, for Steph, you always saw the work ethic in his shot, but you know, just injuries early kind of slowed him down. And then now he is still a star in this league, still one of the best players in the NBA. You see Klay Thompson, you know, he kind of got off slow to a slow start shooting, but he was able to figure it out. He's one of the best to ever shoot the basketball as well. Even with, you know, the stretch he's went on, you know, he's still one of the best shooters in this game, and he will fight himself out of any slump he is going through. And he's going to continue to be able to compete in the NBA for years. And I hope he continues to, you know, push it, because he actually helped me with my injury as well. Not so much we didn't talk, but just to see how he fought back from, you know, ACL and Achilles, you know, just to be able to come back on the court and continue to play at a high level was special and inspirational to me. Giannis, he was young, he was small, he was skinny, you know,
lanky, skinny.
Yeah. You could see it, but man. You know, his work ethic there's none like him, you know, to see who he is now. Documentaries about him, himself and his family is beautiful, you know, really beautiful.
And there's a new one right now at Prime.
Yeah, yes. This is the second one.
Well, the first one was a movie. Rise was a movie. Yeah, right. This is the documentary.
Well, just for it to be, you know, captured on film and put out to the world, you know, it's special. He's still playing, you know, he still probably has 7 years. So that's been special. It'll be special to see at the end of 7 years where he stands. Luka and with Madrid, when we faced them, you know, people in the NBA in the States didn't really understand how big he was. And then when he got to the NBA, and he was able to figure out his pace, I think, you know, it's really hard to do anything with Luka. But we'll see. But, you know, we'll see, if he can continue to develop and win games and get deeper into the playoffs. I mean, they've had, you know, deep playoff runs, but, you know, just continue to better himself.
Do you think that people having not the ideal look and idea a good idea, an ideal idea about what Luka was and what kind of competition he was dominating in the EuroLeague. Do you think that it was a part of underestimating everything non-NBA in general?
I don't know. I don't think it's I don't think it was meant to be that, as just being disrespectful to anything outside of the NBA. It was just like, you don't see that from a 16, 17 year old player. And then if you haven't seen him in person, you don't really understand that he is 6'8". And I mean, he wasn't as big as he is now as far as weight, but you know, now he's just, I don't know if one man can guard him. You know, it's a tough scheme. Unfortunately, we were a part of the 73-point game, you know, that he had a few weeks ago. So, I mean, it's crazy to see him when we played Madrid when he was 16. And then now to see him, I don't know how old he is now, and doing it at this level is special to see, special to witness. I didn't want to witness it, but it happened.
Well, I'm sure it is not very pretty when you are on the opposing side. My. Hey, at least he didn't hurt you in the EuroLeague semifinal. You won that.
Yeah. Yes, we did. You know. that is funny.
So we also want to touch a bit about Nigerian basketball. I mean, you played with the Nigerian national team to the 2019 World Cup, and you were a member of the team in the Olympics. The way we look, and I think that most basket people related to basketball outside of Nigeria, outside of Africa, look at this team is, it's this team screams wasted or lost potential. So many good players. Not having the opportunity to build a great thing with the Nigerian national team. There was that self-imposed ban for 2 years. There was a weird situation and lack of cooperation between the government and the federation. Why do you think, what's the situation like right now? Why do you think that basketball in Nigeria can't thrive when there are the players that right. can make it thrive?
I think it's just unfortunate circumstances, you know, that have gotten us to this point. I don't know whether it's infighting, government, you know, it's unfortunate that we're not able to put our best and brightest and really in any sport on that level. And I hope we can figure it out. You know, it'll definitely take a radical change. But I look forward to the day when we do figure it out. And we are on that stage representing the continent and ourselves.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this with Ekpe. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank y'all very much for having me. And, you know, I always got to do this, but just want to say shout out to the Fener fans. And thank you for all the support.
What? In English, not in Turkish?
Ah, hey. Thank you. Everybody will recognize. Thank you.
All right. Well, this was Ekpe Udo, now an assistant at the Atlanta Hawks, as we said before, the Final Four MVP 2017, a guy that did something truly remarkable, played 2 years in the EuroLeague and left a huge mark and impact in the competition. Ekpe, good luck. Good luck with the Hawks for the rest of the season. Good luck on your coaching career right now. Wish you the best. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Hope we have another conversation soon.
Yeah. Hopefully we will. Cesare, thank you. Grazie for another being with us, being here and coping with me and coping with the lost connections again in another EuroHoopPod. So thank you guys for viewing and listening this episode of the EuroHoopPod podcast. As always, you can watch us at YouTube. You can find us at Spotify and at Apple. See you very soon with another very interesting guest, and we can tease him, I think, Cesare. We can tease our guest. We can say that he played against Ekpe in the EuroLeague.
Yeah, right.
He was a very different kind of player than Ekpe. Let's say that this guy shot a lot and made a lot more three-pointers than Ekpe.
Great player.
No spoilers, please.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So, peace. Thank you, everyone, and good luck. Peace.
Peace, peace.